Thank you for leading us in prayer, Reverend Yom. And the scripture that we're reading this morning, I share with you, is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 10. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. This is the word of God for the people of God. Are you just enjoying this weather? Thank you for coming out. It'd be easy to be outside. I don't know about you, but I think I've been longing for spring more this year. It's not been that severe a winter, but I've just been watching the grass and waiting for it to get green. I've been checking the buds on the trees and bushes and thinking of trying to find flowers and all the beauty of spring. I've been planting seeds in my house to put in a garden, and I just can't wait for that life to come forth of greenery and color and fruit. And you know, I want to say to you this morning that just as spring brings forth new life, my prayer is that in this healing series that God will give you new life and new blessing and new abundance, and especially today as we talk about relationships. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be incredibly satisfied with your relationships? Like you could just hardly stand it that your relationships were so wonderful, that you would say every day, I'm just such a lucky guy or a lucky gal for to have this husband or wife that I have. They're just so amazing. Or to say about your kids, my kids are just awesome. They're just super. I just can't believe the blessings I have with my kids. Or to say, I just can't wait to get to work because all those great people I'm going to be with, and it's going to be so wonderful. And somebody says, man, pastor, that's not reality. That's like Pleasantville. That's like, that's like Truman's world. That just doesn't happen in life. Now, there may be some of you here this morning that is the way you feel sometimes. But though that may not be the real world, God intended for there to be real harmony and love in our relationships. And we need to believe that with God's power, things can get better. God is passionate about improving our relationship with Him in heaven. And God is also passionate about us loving one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And He said that the world would know we are Christians. By this you'll know that we are Christians, that we follow Him and love Him. Love is God's top priority for planet Earth. We know this because when the lawyer asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And God sent Jesus to the earth to restore our relationship, to heal our relationship with God, and to heal our relationship amongst one another. It's called reconciliation. And Scripture says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And Christ has broken down the dividing wall, that's the hostility between us, that He might reconcile both groups to God through the cross. And God's doing that with us. Why is God so passionate about all this? Because God is love. That's the whole purpose. And at the heart of healthy and whole relationships is love. With love, we are fulfilled and whole. And without love, our relationships are empty and broken. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:3, if I do not have love, I am nothing. Think about that sometimes when you're not loving. You know, we can have more knowledge than anybody else around us. We can have the greatest business achievement the world has ever seen. We can have honors from our community, but if we don't love our husband or wife, love our kids, our grandkids, our neighbor, our church, family and friends, those at work, we're nothing. Your life has missed the mark. But if you have love, you have everything. Love is to permeate everything we do, and it's to shine in every relationship. I was writing this, I was thinking, I haven't heard the song in 20 years, but love is a many splendored thing. And love has many facets of beauty, like a diamond. And each facet enhances one another. Maybe that's why ladies love diamonds so much, because they are so beautiful and they do sparkle. But think for a minute about how many aspects of love there ought to be in our relationships and in our family. When things operate the way they should be, say between a husband and a wife, love between parents and children, and love that brothers and sisters possess for one another, like a diamond, each of these directions of love is built upon one another and making different facets, and it glows in the light of Christ. Love that is given and received is more wonderful than anything else in life. And oh, how we long deep in our hearts for this love. Why is it that we don't have it as we ought? Well, first of all, we are selfish beings. Second of all, maybe we don't work as hard at it as we ought to. And third, we are so caught up in getting stuff done, in doing stuff right, and we correct one another. A deep and heartfelt love needs to be present more often in our lives. We're still learning to love in our family, as I know you are. And as we raised our children, and we remember, Carol and I, many challenges of helping them grow and become what they should be, and older brother picking on sister, and they got into teenage years, competition and choices, and we wondered about and stresses, and we're not there yet. We're still growing in love. But my daughters suggested this thing a year or so ago, and they said, let's do a group hug. So we all just kind of get together and squeeze one another. And my daughters will then kiss everybody, and then we'll all say we love one another. And that is so healing and so wonderful. When we are loved, we're fulfilled, and when we're not loved, we feel empty. Love is the meaning of life and relationships, and we were created to love God, to love one another. But again, our human love is so flawed and imperfect. It's like the diamond before it's cut to be the beautiful diamond you saw. It's in the rough. But God sent Jesus in the world to cut off those edges and to take away that stuff, to make our love more beautiful, to let it sparkle. But sometimes we don't want to let God change us. We don't want to let God transform us. We think we're where we should be, but we're not, and we're all still growing. Our number one priority should be to learn of love, to grow in love. Paul wrote Philippians 1:9, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight. Think about it. We study everything, don't we? We study landscaping, how to plant bushes and flowers and trees. We study about buildings and our homes and how to take care of them. We study for our field of vocation where we work. We read about all kinds of things, but you know, maybe we need to have more studies on love and to be more of what God wants us to be. The Apostle Paul wrote a treatise on love, 1 Corinthians 13. I don't think there's anything like it anywhere. And I never get tired of reading it. Often read it at weddings. But the Apostle Paul said, love starts out with, love is patient and kind. And I tell couples who are getting married, the greatest gift I could give to you would be patience. And patience and kindness allow relationships to be whole. Patience is defined in the dictionary as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. You know how it works. Something goes wrong and a person immediately gets upset and becomes critical. And this lack of patience causes the relationship to be stressed. But when patience is exercised, there's a positive attitude that accepts our foibles. And we have many of them, don't we? Maybe this has happened in your house. I think it's maybe happened in our house once or twice. And here's an example. I understand that you did not mean to leave the lights on, dear, in the basement while we were gone for a week. You were in a hurry. But let's both work on double-checking things before we go. That's patience. The opposite is, why in heaven's names did you leave the light on? Don't you know that makes the electric bill go up? Test yourself the next time somebody in a family or a friend makes a mistake. How do you respond? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. That means if we have love, not that we ignore it, not that we don't want people to improve, but it covers it. Jesus was infinitely patient with his disciples and those he ministered to. Now, there were also times he rebuked them too. But Christ expects us to be patient. How are you doing with that? We are quick to react. Sometimes it only takes one or two wrongs or actions, and we write that person off. We drop out of the relationship. And then we also look for bad things in that person all the time. This is not Jesus' way. Jesus said, if your brother offended you or your sister, you forgive them 70 times 70. Patience builds relationships up and it brings a healing influence. And kindness and patience are married to one another. You cannot have one without possessing the other. When you show patience, that's an act of kindness. And when you're kind, it's almost impossible to be impatient. If people are unkind, we feel rejected. Kindness is defined as the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Kindness comes from the word kin. You treat somebody like your family. Now, it doesn't work if you don't treat your family well. But to treat another like family. I've made a lot of hospital visits over the last 30-plus years. And I know Reverend Keyworth, Reverend Yum, and other pastors here, Reverend Clevenger and Reverend Susan, I know you all have. But I will often ask, well, how's it going for you in the hospital? How's it going? And time again, it seems that they're having a good experience because the personnel at the hospital have been kind. I also notice that when people visit a church for the first time, that the impression they get is based on whether they feel people are friendly and kind. So we build relationships through kindness. Jesus said it this way, do unto others before they do unto you. No, wait, that's not it. Let me read it again here. Woke some of you up. Do unto others, I was just kidding, as you would have them do unto you. Ask yourself, how have you shown kindness this week? How have you been at home? How have you been at work? It's very easy to get grumpy in a familiar setting. If you are in a stressed relationship with someone, ask God to give you a heart of kindness for its healing. Now, In saying all that, I know that there are some people that no matter what amount of kindness we show, they're going to take advantage. They just won't get it. But we have to give them to God. And we have to say, God, I've done all that I know. I'm going to keep loving, but God, you'll have to be the judge. And God is faithful. Next, love is not envious or boastful or proud. 1 Corinthians 13:4b says, relationships are wholesome when there's humility. Love that children's talk with Oscar. A lot of humility coming out there and from both sides. Severe criticism towards other often has its root in pride. How could they make that mistake? Why would they do something like that? Maybe we don't know the whole story. Pride cannot accept another person's shortcomings. It feels that it is superior, therefore it has a right to judge. But when we have this attitude that we are more capable than others, we set ourselves up for failure. Because yes, the time will come when we will make a mistake, and sometimes a big mistake. And then we're going to have to figure out how to deal with that. Maybe we deny it, or maybe we just get really angry. But the Bible says pride goes before the fall. Rarely would anyone admit to the fact that they have an attitude that's superior, they feel better than others. But sometimes it's in the back of our mind and we don't know it. God, the Bible says, is near to the humble of heart. And when we are humble, it draws others near too. Jesus Christ is our example. He was perfect as the Son of God, and yet the Bible says he humbled himself and took on the role of a servant. The opposite of humility is the Pharisee who said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like others. And we need to be careful of that. Pride and envy go together like kindness and patience, and they can be tricky. My heart grieves, and somebody asked for healing prayer for this, for our country. Our country is supercharged with division right now in the political realm. There are great philosophical differences between the two main parties. But in addition to different ideologies, I see that part of the problem is pride. Each side demonizes the other, but believes that they are righteous and good. This is very dangerous thinking. This has led to brokenness that needs healing for our nation. People are not listening to one another. The divide has gotten so strong that families don't get along. Communities are split. I read an article a couple of years ago that said one of the biggest things that couples look for in another person that they're dating is to be in the same political party. We as Christ followers need to be humble and need to be a uniting force, listening, building a bridge for Christ. 1 Corinthians also says, love does not dishonor, nor is it self-seeking, and it protects. Love hopes all things. And so wanting the best for others is also healing. You know, if you're aware that somebody wants the best for you, and they really believe in you, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, it frees you up. You can be yourself. You can feel safe around them. But if you feel that someone wants to do you in or to undermine you, you don't have that peace. Think about a relationship in your life that is broken. Maybe there's stresses in your marriage. Maybe with your kids, a brother, a sister, a church member. It is likely that there is not honor there. There's lack of respect for you and them, you or both of you. We need to get to the place where we can see past the offense in a person and wishing the best for them instead of wishing the worst for them. Christ can help us look beyond fault and think about the good qualities people have. Carol and I, before she left on mission trip on Saturday, we saw Beauty and the Beast at the Center for the Arts. We've seen it before, but this show was just particularly wonderful. The music, the whole choreography, it was really great. I'm not trying to give a plug for it, but if you get a chance, maybe you want to go see it. But certain things leaped out at me in the show, like I've never seen before. And one of the things I kept thinking was that everybody was, well, at least the people that were turned into things, Mr. Lumiere and on, they were wanting to be human again, and it was only going to happen if the beast became more loving, and that inner person learned to build a relationship. And I think that's true for us in life. There's a beast in all of us, and maybe others are hoping that true gentleness and kindness and understanding will come out in us. And you know what? With Christ, no matter what it is that's limiting you or me, Christ can heal us and restore us. One of the greatest things that we can do to build a relationship, to make it more whole, is to pray for a person, to pray for blessing on their life. That will really change your attitude. Now, I also understand in building relationships, restoration, understanding, communication, I understand that there's going to be some relationships that cannot be recovered. It can happen when a relationship is abusive. One person will not change. It can happen when a person is seeking to manipulate. And often the only way for healing to take place, remove yourself from them, and to find relationships that build up and then hope that that other person can be changed. Lastly, we need to know and remember at its foundation, Jesus Christ is the healer of all relationships. As we look at the things in 1 Corinthians, love, patience, kindness, goodness, or humility, believing all things and hoping all things, and not holding not keeping an account of wrongs, which means showing forgiveness. These qualities are found most perfectly in Jesus. He's a living example. No one was more patient and kind. No one looks past our weaknesses and shortcomings more than he does. You know, did you ever stop and think how Christ does not shame us, but is constantly prompting us, wooing us, calling us? And it's only at the last effort that maybe he'll allow something difficult to come our way. Christ is there to support us and encourage us. If we're going to experience Christ's power and love, we need to have a relationship with him. Someone has said, God has no grandchildren. You can't be in relationship through your parents, through just going to church. I mean, you're seeking a relationship, but you have to make a decision to allow Christ to come into your heart, to be your Savior in a personal way. And then as you receive that love, receive it every day. Then take the burdens that you carry in relationships to him. Ask God to heal the relationships at work. Ask God to heal the relationship between your brother or sister when you don't see eye to eye. Ask God to make the relationship with your husband and wife more beautiful. Ask God to bring you closer to your children. And say, God, give me the patience, kindness, humility, hopefulness, and forgiveness that only you possess. And then sometimes we might need to say, and Lord, if there's something that I'm doing that drives others crazy, show me what that is. And And we need to say, Lord, forgive me for not giving the anxiety I feel in relationships over to you in prayer. And so, friends, part of the healing process is for us to turn it over to God and say, God, take this situation, take me, bring your restoration. We're going to close now with our song, The Hurt and the Healer.